Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. A brand new book of the Bible today, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, of course, is where we begin, right after we pray. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you have found your place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we begin. Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how the apostle equates God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ on two occasions in this very first verse. It is not really a church if it doesn't recognize that the Father and the Son are co-eternal, co-equal members of the Godhead. If a church teaches that God the Son was created, then they are not the church that our Lord Jesus Christ established. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. It's important that we as Christians pray for others as well as ourselves. Sometimes I think we forget just how important prayer is, but it is a real act of kindness to pray for people because God works through our prayers. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. They had what every true Christian has to one degree or another. They had faith, hope, and love. How do we know? Anyone with eyes to see could see it. Their faith produced good works, works of holiness. Their love for Jesus, who saved them from hell, caused them to labor for him. They tried to please him, even when it wasn't easy. And their hope, which rested in the Bible, caused them to patiently persevere with Christ, even though it involved suffering. No good works which coincide with our professed faith in Christ? Then we don't have faith. No labor for Jesus, instead only a superficial living for him when it's convenient, then there's no love for him. No perseverance with Christ through good times and bad, then your hope is not in the Word of God. No faith, no love, no hope equals no salvation, no deliverance from hell. So if that's you, you better get at it before it's too late, because the clock is ticking and you're running out of time. Verse 3 again, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. If you are a Christian, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, it is because God elected you. He chose you. If you're a Christian, it's because God wanted you in his family. Think of it, in spite of your sins, God still chose you. Knowing that we are chosen by God should cause us to want to serve Jesus more than ever. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. The Thessalonians heard the word of God and they got saved. Power of God was at work in their life, and it was clear that they were saved because they were changed on the inside, and only the power of God can do that. If a person has truly received Jesus Christ, then they will have holy convictions and a genuine belief in the Word of God. Those things are generated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. The apostle said, you Thessalonian Christians became followers of us. In other words, they enjoyed being around Paul. A saved person will gravitate to others who are saved. They will observe them, and if there is holiness and faith in ways previously unseen, they will try to imitate it. Which means that a Christian who is holy will inspire other Christians to be more like Christ. Did you ever think about that? If you want to make a difference in the kingdom of God, then live for Jesus, because among other things, you will have a positive effect on other Christians, even as Paul had a positive effect on the Christians in Thessalonica. Verse 7, so that you were an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. They were examples. They were models. Christians need models. And we can be a model. We can be a spiritual beacon and consequently inspire others to be more like Christ. How? By reading our Bible every day, by praying every day, by confessing when we fail. You know, someone needs to show the way. It might as well be you, right? Might as well be me too. Verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. We don't have to say anything about your faith, Paul says. It's obvious. If we have to convince someone with words that we are a Christian, then we may not be a Christian at all. Because if we are saved, then our life should show it. Our attitude and our actions should be the outward proof of an inward saving faith. That's normal. That's not anything extraordinary. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And that is repentance in a nutshell. And there's no salvation without it. If a person wants to become a Christian, then they must turn from idols to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I don't worship a stone idol or a wooden idol. I don't have any carvings or pictures that I bow down before. Well, that's good, but an idol is anything that's more important to us than God. And so trusting Christ, along with putting Him first, that's the sign of true faith, saving faith. And that's what the Thessalonians did. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You can't serve the living and true God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't turn from sin. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Jesus rescues Christians from the wrath to come. In other words, Jesus rescues Christians from the wrath of God, which is hell. Jesus was punished for our sins on the cross so that we wouldn't need to be punished in hell forever. Let's go into chapter 2, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. In other words, Paul says, when I came to visit you, it wasn't a waste of time. You know why? It's because Paul didn't preach psychology. He didn't preach the theories or the commandments or the teachings of men. He didn't preach religious tradition, capital T or small t, so-called. He didn't do that. He proclaimed the pure word of God and only the pure word of God. And that's why his visit wasn't a waste of time. There were results. There are always results when the Word of God is proclaimed. They are not always positive results, but there are results. And I say they're not always positive results because the same word that blesses those who are upright in heart will upset and anger those who have a rebellious attitude toward God. You see, the Word of God, clearly proclaimed, will always do something. God says that His Word will not come back to Him void. Verse 2, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. This is something that I really like about the apostle. He got the tar beat out of him in Philippi. And yet, what does he do as soon as he gets out of that place? He preaches the word of God that got him into trouble in the first place. Dedicated to Jesus, dedicated to preaching the truth of Christ, no matter what. You know, some Christians quit living for Jesus. Or they quit speaking the word of God because they suffer in some way for doing it. They get trouble instead of applause. Nobody's giving them applause. Nobody's standing up and clapping for them. So they stop doing what they know they should be doing, and they stop saying what they know they should be saying. But suffering for doing right doesn't mean that we should quit doing right. Some things are worth suffering for. Obeying and pleasing Christ is one of those things. This is a good time to take our break. We'll be back in about a minute. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. Well, here we are, a whole month into the new year of 2013. How about your resolutions? Did you make some? How are you faring? Regardless of how you have done, let me suggest one that could be good to put into practice at any time. I resolve to take a little time before acting. Too often we act on impulse, but if what we are about to do is important, it may deserve some consideration. Perhaps a simple prayer such as, Lord, in this situation, help me do only what is pleasing to you, one action at a time, one day at a time. And with the Lord's help, you may find yourself actually keeping some of those resolutions. This is By the Way.
We are back. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. And we're in 1 Thessalonians today. And by the way, if you want to be a part of this ministry, you can be with your prayers and your financial support. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. And as always, your prayers and your financial support are greatly appreciated. Now, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We resume in verse number 3. Paul writes, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of guile, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. And so what he is saying is that there is no trickery in my ministry. Paul was a straight shooter. He gave out the pure word of God, and that was it. And there is no trickery or deceit involved in the Spirit-filled life. God the Holy Spirit is not interested in using deceit and manipulation to get somebody to do something. God the Holy Spirit uses honesty, integrity, and the Word of God. And if that doesn't move someone to do what is right, then I would say just leave them be. God will deal with them. The Bible says, shall we do evil that good may come? And it's a rhetorical question. It implies a no answer. Of course not. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. You know, it's really very simple. Live to please God. And those who have a heart for God will be encouraged to do the same. And those who don't, well, I guess they can do whatever they want to do. They've got a free will. But just live to please God if you're a Christian. Life becomes complicated when our devotion is split between pleasing the Lord, who saved us from hell, and trying to please those who want to do things their way instead of God's way. That complicates life way too much. Just don't worry about it. And don't argue with anyone. Don't make a fuss. Don't try to trick anyone or force anyone to join you to doing what is right in the eyes of God. Just do what's right yourself and leave it at that. Verse 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Never flatter anyone. That's not how Christ conducted himself. That's not how the apostles conducted themselves. Just speak the truth in love and let what happens happen. You know what flattery is, don't you? Flattery is one person operating in their sin nature, trying to get another person to do something in their sin nature. It's a waste of time. God's not involved in it. He doesn't like it, and he doesn't want us to engage in it. He's not involved in the use of it, nor is he involved in giving into it. If something is right, then say it and do it. If it's not right, then don't say it and don't do it. It's that simple. We don't have to complicate it any more than that. Verse 6, nor of men sought we glory. Never seek praise from people. The Bible says that we should do all things for the glory of God. Not for the glory of ourselves, not to seek praise for ourselves. If we live to please God, then we're going to, by default, please others who live for God. But if we live to please people, well, then we may end up displeasing God. Verse 6 and 7, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. A nurse or a mother cherishes her children. Paul worked hard, just like a mother. And you know, a good mother works hard, and she does it for free because she loves her child. A good mother is all about giving. She's all about service. Being able to serve the child that she loves is her reward. And a good Christian will serve Jesus and others. A good Christian's reward is the joy that they receive from serving Jesus Christ. That's the reward that they strive for. That's the thing that gives them the most joy and happiness. And if that's not a Christian's attitude, then there's way too much self in that Christian, if they're a Christian at all. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You know, I'm going to give you a good definition of love, a biblical definition of love right here. It's one word, share. You know, love doesn't go into effect until it shares, until it gives something. God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. Verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. He labored night and day. The apostle worked a secular job whenever he had to do it. It wasn't his first choice. And to be frank with you, it's not God's first choice for a preacher, because he says that the laborer is worthy of their pay. He says that those who spend their time teaching the word should make their living by the word. It's not God's first choice. God's first choice is for his people who are fed the word to support the preacher who does it. But again, Paul worked a secular job whenever he had to. It was either that or flatter the crowds with spiritual nonsense so that they would give him big offerings. And since he would never do that, he preached the Word of God and he worked a secular job. Not always, but again, when he had to. Verse 10, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." The apostle was not sinless, but he made sure he was a man of integrity. He had plenty of enemies who said many bad things about him, but none of those things were true. Satan enjoys inciting people to slander Christians because it tends to discredit Christ. Some will believe the slander, others will not. The important thing is to make sure that it isn't true. The important thing is to be able to stand before God with a clear conscience, no matter what anyone else may think. Verse 11, "As you know, how we exhorted and encouraged and charged every one of you as a father does his children." Paul says, "We exhorted, we encouraged, and we charged," or "we instructed every one of you." And it was every one of them. There was no favoritism with the apostle, just as there is none with God. And by the way, no favoritism doesn't mean that you treat everyone the exact same way. God doesn't treat an obedient Christian the exact same way he treats a rebellious Christian. Having no favorite means that a person's behavior and attitude should determine how we act toward them, not our personal prejudices. Discriminate on the basis of behavior and nothing else. That's how God operates. Verse 11, "As you know how we exhorted and encouraged and charged every one of you as a father does his children." And again, exhorted, encouraged, and charged. That's what Paul did because that's what God does. If we spend enough time with God in his word, then we will find that he will encourage us for the good things that we do. He will comfort us in our failures, and he will instruct us in the things that he wants us to do. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. Verse 12, "That you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory." It takes comfort, it takes encouragement, correction, and instruction from God for us to move in the direction where we are walking worthy of him. And it's a goal we will never fully obtain in this life, but it's one which we should never cease to strive for as Christians. 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." They received the word of God as it is the word of God, not as the word of men. Some people react to scripture as if it's simply the opinion of man. They react as if the one preaching or teaching is the one who invented it. But everyone should keep in mind that every single word in the Bible is God-breathed. It comes from the lips of our Creator, and therefore the scripture should be heard with reverence. It's the word of God. Verse 14, "For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Lesson: imitate Christ, even to the point of sacrifice and suffering. Doing what's right in the eyes of God is a higher calling than being comfortable, than being at ease in this world. It takes work to be spiritually successful for Christ, and that work often involves sacrifice and suffering. 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved." Well, let's take inventory here. The Jews of our Lord's day rejected God's Son. They murdered him. Then they rejected the apostles and persecuted them. Then they rejected other Christians and persecuted them. No wonder the Bible says that they are displeasing to the Father. And then to cap it all off, they actively and openly opposed the preaching of Jesus and the Word of God, and consequently, they were contrary to all men. And I will say that anyone who in any ways tries to hinder the word of God from being proclaimed or heard is an evil person who is at least in part responsible for the lost condition of the souls involved. I mean, if somebody wants to get on the bad side of God, then all they have to do is try to prevent others from hearing the word of God or downplay the importance of God's word so that others dismiss it. That'll get you on the bad side of God real quickly. 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath of God is come upon them, to the uttermost. You know, the Bible, Jesus actually speaks of a cup of iniquity. And the Jews of our Lord's day had a cup of iniquity, and it was almost full. And once that cup is full, that's when God's wrath hits. You know, there is a limit to the number of sins God allows people to commit before he says, that's it, it's time to punish. And the thing is, no one knows how close their cup is to being full. Everyone's life is a different length. Therefore, everyone's cup is a different size. Consequently, the next sin could be the drop that causes iniquity to spill over the brim. The good news is that receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior empties the cup for Christians in Christ. Our cup is empty because Jesus was already punished for all of our sins on the cross. 17, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. They endeavored the more abundantly. In other words, they made every effort. If we make every effort to do what the Bible teaches we are to do, then many times, if not most of the time, we will do it. And of course, there's going to be times when because of our sin nature or someone else's sin nature or the devil, we're going to fail. But we owe it to God to make every effort to do what we believe is best and to live according to the scripture. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And so the devil kept the apostle from going to Thessalonica to teach them God's word. Satan will do everything in his power to keep a preacher who faithfully teaches God's word from the people who need to hear it. The devil will create obstacles from outside, and he will also place obstacles in people's minds to keep them from connecting with the word of God. Why? Because he hates the good that he knows the Bible produces in those who hear and understand it. Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. You know, if we consider what makes us feel good, we can gauge our level of spirituality. If pleasing Jesus or accomplishing something that we know goes along with Scripture gives us a sense of satisfaction, then we're on the right track. And I'm going to move quickly here. We're just about out of time. Remember, questions, comments, prayer requests, write to me and send them through the mail at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211, or you can email versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com, or you can call in your questions at 715-845-8298. 715-845-8298. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.